Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is first canto, creation, and chapter 13. This is text number 48. Tad. Idam. Bhagavan Rajan Taridam Bhagavan Rajan Eka Atmat Manam Swadrik Eka Atmat Manam Swadrik Antaro Nantaro Bhati Antaro Nantaro Bhati Pasha Tam Maya Yorudha Pasha Tam Maya Yorudha Taridam Bhagavan Rajan Eka Atmatmanam Swadrik Antaro Nantaro Bhati Pashyatam Maya Yorudha Taridam Bhagavan Rajan Eka Atmatmanam Swadrik Antaro Nantaro Bhati Pashyatam Maya Yorudha Please chant. Rajan Katmatmanam Swadrik Antaro Nantaro Bhati Pashita Mayo Vaishnavis Taridam Bhagavan Rajan Katmatmanam Swadrik Antaro Antaro Bhati Asmaitama Yanaupata. Tat. Therefore. Idam. This manifestation. Bhagavan. The personality of Godhead. Rajan. O King. Ekaha. One without a second. Atma. The Super Soul. Atmanam. By His energies. Swadrik. Qualitatively like Him. Antara. Without. Antara. Within and by Himself. Bhati. So manifests. Pasha. Look. Tam. Unto Him only. Mayaya. By manifestations of different energies. Udha. Appears to be many. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, O King, you should look to the Supreme Lord only, who is one without a second and who manifests Himself by different energies and is both within and without. Please repeat. Therefore, O King, you should look to the Supreme Lord only, who is one without a second and who manifests Himself by different energies and is both within and without. Purport. The Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, is one without a second. But He manifests Himself by different energies because He is by nature blissful. The living beings are also manifestations of His marginal energy, qualitatively one with the Lord. And there are innumerable living entities both within and without the external and internal energies of the Lord. Since the spiritual world is a manifestation of the Lord's internal energy, the living beings within that internal potency are qualitatively one with the Lord without contamination from the external potency. Although qualitatively one with the Lord, the living being, due to contamination of the material world, is pervertedly manifested, and therefore he experiences so-called happiness and distress in the material world. Such experiences are all ephemeral and do not affect the spirit soul. The perception of such ephemeral happiness and distress is due only to the forgetfulness of his qualities, which are equal to the Lord's. There is, however, a regular current from the Lord Himself, from within and without, by which to rectify the fallen condition of the living beings. From within, He corrects the desirous living beings as localized Paramatma. And from without, He corrects by His manifestations the spiritual master and the revealed scriptures. Once you look unto the Lord, one should not be disturbed by the so-called manifestations of happiness or distress. But he should try to cooperate with the Lord in his outward activities for correcting the fallen souls by his order only. By his order only, one should become a spiritual master and cooperate with the Lord. One should not become a spiritual master for one's personal benefit, for some material gain, or for an avenue of business or occupation for earning livelihood. Bona fide spiritual masters who look unto the Supreme Lord to cooperate with Him are actually qualitatively one with the Lord. And the forgetful ones are perverted reflections only. Yudhisthira Maharaj is advised by Narada, therefore, not to be disturbed by the affairs of so-called happiness and distress, but to look only unto the Lord to execute the mission for which the Lord has descended. That was his prime duty. Wow. Om Agena Timadandasya Agenanjana Salakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tajmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upadhamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Guru Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakopa Tubhischa Kripasindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So translation again. Therefore, O King, you should look to the Supreme Lord only, who is one without a second, and who manifests himself by different energies and is both within and without. So Prabhupada really gives a brilliant purport here. And there's so much we could talk about. But there's three specific words that really stuck with me, and I'd like to expand on these words Prabhupada mentions in the purport. One of them is current, and he mentions that there's a regular current from the Lord, from within and without. There's a lot of so-called, today there's a lot of meditators, they think, oh, you have to go within. That's where everything is, within. But they don't realize actually it's without too. Comes as the scriptures and the spiritual masters. So just go and meditate and everything will come from within. But yeah, it's both. So we have a complete view. And then the other word is cooperate. It's saying that we should try to cooperate with the Lord in his outward activities. So this is our business, is to cooperate. And this is what makes society and everything run smoothly. Even our own bodies, if all the parts and parcels of your body didn't cooperate, then you would be diseased. There has to be cooperation between the mind, the intelligence, the emotions, and even the spirit. And this is that cooperation. So that brings us to the next one, which is Prabhupada mentions prime duty. So he's telling Maharaj Yudhisthira that don't be disturbed by these affairs of the mature world, happiness and distress. Just execute the mission of the Lord. And that is your prime duty. So we're going to discuss about prime duty. So we have the current, and then we have cooperation and our prime duty. So history has shown us that when there's disintegration, destruction, and disappearance of nations, and it's been a result of lack of this cooperation. Lack of cooperation with nature, with other nations, or even within themselves. Just like we mentioned, health. The well-being of the individual depends on this cooperation of the body and all its different parts. So this cooperation starts within ourselves. And this is the foundation of cooperation between all the different parts. So if we have all these different parts that are not cooperating with each other, they're diseased, and they try to cooperate, there's no cooperation. So this is the cornerstone that of any system, the cooperation has to be with the different parts so that they can cooperate together. And this is what we're trying to do. Is realize we want to align. We have these cooperative efforts to align with our prime duty, which is to get in touch with this transcendental current which is being revealed to us. So, as Prabhupada mentions, and we read throughout the different scriptures, and we see in history of society, when there's no cooperation within, then you don't have any impact on the world. People are dividing themselves. And what happens is there's misery, there's death everywhere, you know, and then people just vanish. The different nations and societies just vanish. So we have to be a society where everyone's interest is not in just taking care of himself, but actually it has to be like a whole social issue. So even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and you read from many different spiritual scriptures, that they're telling you not to just love your neighbor as yourself, but to actually love your neighbor more than yourself. And it reminds me of a story of, I can't remember the name of the devotee, but he joined, he was a bhakta, he joined, he got prasadam, and then eventually came to the, heard a lecture, and then he became a devotee, and he became a very nice servant of the devotees. And everybody noticed, well, this devotee is really nice. He's like, he's intelligent, and he really loves us. You know, he cares about, more about us than he does himself. So let's make him the president. So this is the kind of leaders we need in society today. So it's like that. And we see now in our political situation, it's all just self-interest. You can see it just seems so bad. So regarding this duty is that to actually see someone, to love someone more than oneself. There's a very nice verse, and this is from the Srimad Bhagavatam 6th canto, chapter 10, the battle between the demigods and Vritasura. And I think this is Vritasura actually speaking here. He's preaching to Indra. And this is text number 10. This body, which is eaten by jackals and dogs after death, does not actually do any good for me, the spirit soul. So here we're seeing a distinction again between the body and the soul. It is usable only for a short time and may perish at any moment. The body and its possessions, its riches and relatives must all be engaged for the benefit of others, or else they will be sources of tribulation and misery. Prabhupada gives a really nice purport here. So he says, similar advice is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10:22-35. Etatvaj janma sapalyam, that's how the verse starts. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. This is the mission of life. One's own body and the bodies of his friends and relatives, as well as one's own riches and everything else one has, should be engaged for the benefit of others. This is the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 9:41. Bharta Bhumi Haila Manusha Janmayara Janma Sartaka Kari Kara Para Upakara. One who has taken birth as a human being in the land of India, Bhartavarsha, should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. So Prabhupada finishes the purport. The word upakura means para upakara, helping others. Of course, in human society, there are many institutions to help others, but because philanthropists do not know how to help others, their propensity for philanthropy is ineffectual. They do not know the ultimate goal of life, Shreya Acharanam, which is to please the Supreme Lord. If all philanthropic and humanitarian activities were directed toward achieving the ultimate goal of life, to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they would all be perfect. Humanitarian work without Krishna is nothing. Krishna must be brought into the center of all our activities. Otherwise, no activity will have value. So this is where that connection is. We have to have that connection. And we're going to talk about that more. So this is everyone's duty. Now, Prabhupada mentions here in throughout his books about different religions. And we see that religions actually, it seems, or they should have been, created to teach people to cooperate with each other, you know, with the will of the Creator. But it seems like they have become islands within themselves. You know, they have their own goals, whether it's economic, political, spiritual. But what is the real goal of religion? We're finding out through these Vedic literatures. And that's to find our common goal, or the supreme purpose of all religion. And that's to create cooperation between ourselves and the Supreme Being. In the past, we see religions, they actually hate each other, you know. But now, today, it seems like there's a strong effort. You see how religious leaders, they try to see the values of each other's religions, and they try to cooperate for a common goal. And this should be the purpose of real religion. And Prabhupada actually mentions that in the light of the Bhagavad. There's a nice verse, number 6. This is the visual where there's torrential rains coming down, and the frogs of the mountains, they come out and they start to croak. And it's like the brahmacharis who chant the Vedic hymns by the order of their spiritual master. So Prabhupada says in the nice purport here, in this age of godless civilization, the sages of world-recognized religions, sects who believe in God, must come out of their secluded places and preach the science of God, the supreme will. The people in general, Hindus, Muslims, Christians, and the members of the other sects that have convincing faith in the authority of God, must not sit down idly now and silently watch the rapid growth of godless civilization. There is a supreme will of God, and no nation or society can live in peace and prosperity without acceptance of this vital truth. The warning is already there, and responsible leaders of religious sects must meet together and form a common platform of a league of devotees of the Lord. There is no need for self-realized souls to live in a secluded place. Perfect self-realized souls engaged in the service of the Lord are unafraid of Maya, just as law-abiding citizens of the state never fear the police. Such fearless devotees of God always speak scientifically about the existence of God, even at the risk of death. Such devotees of God feel compassion for the mass of people who have completely forgotten the Supreme Lord and who engage in the false pursuit of happiness that ends in the sense pleasures enjoyed by hogs and dogs. Just see, Prabhupada is explaining that point, how we should love our neighbor more than ourselves, willing to even give one's life practically. Isn't that amazing? So there's one, another section here Prabhupada talks about these different saints and how what their purpose is. And he's talking about how, you know, how the body, we all, how it grows, you know, it maintains itself, gives out products, and it perishes and dies. So this is, everything happens like this. It's a temporary engagement. So Prabhupada mentions in this purport to the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is 1.13.22. So here's describing that that people must give up this temporary body and form a society. So he's saying that forget their permanent identity and become foolishly active for impermanent occupations, forgetting their altogether their prime duty. Saints and sages like Vidura approach such foolish men to awaken them to the real situation. But they take such sadhus and saints as parasites of society, and almost all of them refuse to hear the words of such sadhus and saints. Although they welcome Shobhado sadhus and so-called saints who can satisfy their senses, Vidura was not a sadhu to satisfy the ill-gotten sentiment of Dhritarashtra. He was correctly pointing out the real situation of life and how one can save oneself from such catastrophes. So this is very important here, how it's described. So we have many examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam and through our Vedic literatures of this cooperation. Like we see, even in other religions, Christ even said, he gave this formula, if there's three of you who come together in my name, I will be amongst you. So similarly, when we all chant together, you know, there's Sankirtan, together we glorify Krishna, that's where Krishna is present. I'm not in the heart of the meditating yogi, but I'm where my devotees are glorifying my names. So we see this cooperation Krishna very much appreciates. And we see that when all the Prachetas were meditating under the water, Krishna appeared to them because he was so pleased with how they were cooperating and had such friendly relationships with each other. And he appeared. So that connection is there. We're connected like that. And then also we see the whole story of Daksha performing his yajna. What happens when they don't cooperate? There was like disaster. The whole yajna was destroyed by Lord Shiva's followers, and people were killed, and arms were cut off, and heads were cut off, and it was amazing. But when they finally settled everything, and they apologized and everything, then they started to perform this yajna in complete cooperation and love for each other. And Krishna then appeared, and he was very satisfied with them. So we see, this is the examples that we see throughout our history. So let's go to this word about the current. And this is very interesting. There's different kinds of currents that are described Prabhupada uses that as an example throughout his books. And we're going to talk about how there's a current of our thought, the current between the spiritual master and the disciple, what kind of current the pure devotee has. And there's even a current amongst our senses. So all these things are going to be described. And there's some literatures here. And even as Krishna's representatives, we're to become like a current. So this is like a river or an ocean that's very powerful. So this is what this word pravaha means, current. Just like when there's a river or some animal or something is thrown in, it just swept away. So similarly, Prabhupada says we're being swashed away by the currents of material nature. And they come one after another like big waves in the Pacific Ocean. And this is what he describes as the grip of material nature, of the three modes of material nature. Prabhupada says here, you're being washed away, carried away by the currents of material nature. These are the currents of hunger and thirst, of birth, death, and old age, the currents of illusion. We are spirit souls, but because we have been put into the material ocean, the currents are carrying us away. However, if we engage 24 hours a day in hearing, chanting, and seriously serving Krishna, the current will stop. So this is a prayer from the Queen Kunti. She's talking, and this is a verse, purport that Srila Prabhupada gives, and crossing beyond illusions, currents, which is very important. And she's given the key on how to actually stop that current is to take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Because Krishna's feet are like considered to be like a lotus petal. They float like a boat. So if we take shelter of this, we can cross this huge ocean of the three modes of material nature. So Prabhupada mentions here, similarly, although for others, the world of birth and death is like a great ocean, for a devotee is like such a puddle of the calf when it rains. He can jump over it very easily. In this way, the devotee attains param padam, the supreme abode. Kunti Dev suggests that this Krishna consciousness is the medicine for the suffering. So we have to take it and be happy. So this is very nice. So there's some other nice quotes here regarding this current. So let's talk about this current of thought. We have a current of materialistic thought. You can get so absorbed in this current of thought, even while you're chanting, you could be chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, but your mind is like on this current. You're actually not even thinking of the holy names. You're just like, your mind is on this current. And there's this real nice, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Goswami Maharaj says, in his Nectar of Instruction for Immortality, he says, the Lord's devotees do not become carried away by the current of materialistic thought because they are not greedy for money, women, or material fame. They remain equal poised when they are both praised and blasphemed. They do not indulge in fault-finding. Rather, they remain busy glorifying Krishna in the mood of separation and remain indifferent to worldly etiquette, Vedic injunctions, social oppression, chastisement, hatred, and embarrassment. Isn't that, you see so many people, just a little bit of these things, like if you get praise, you get so affected. Or if you get blasphemed, you get so disturbed, you know. And there's another quote here from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. He says, it is only possible to communicate with the Lord. So this is that connection. When we were living our spiritual propensity, only those whose intelligence and current of thoughts have been materially influenced who have no information about spiritual propensities. Isn't that heavy? Only those whose intelligence and current of thoughts have been materially influenced have no information about spiritual propensities. So they consider the deity not to be, you know, it's not different, actually. The deity is not different than Krishna. And he says here that spirit is served only by spirit. So there's a current between the spiritual master and the disciple, and this is all taught throughout our books as the parampara system. We know that it's been going on for thousands of years. And this is that electric current Prabhupada talks. So it's like a powerhouse, and it's coming through this current. So we have to be sure that we're connected with that disciplic succession. And here's a nice quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam about the pure devotee. and his qualification. This is from also the same chapter that we're in, text number 55. A pure devotee of the Lord does not live on any planet of the material sky, nor does he feel any contact with material elements. His so-called material body does not exist, being surcharged with the spiritual current of the Lord's identical interest. So just see, this is coming up in the next few verses. Prabhupada again mentions this word, spiritual current. So, and thus he says, he is permanently freed from all contaminations of the sum total of the Mahatattva. He is always in the spiritual sky, which he attains by being transcendental to the sevenfold material coverings, by the effect of his devotional service. The conditioned souls are within the coverings, whereas the liberated soul is far beyond the cover. So that's to see. That's why we get in touch with the spiritual master. He's not even here. He's in the spiritual world. He's in touch with Krishna. So you get in touch with him, you have that current. And then there's also a current which is described in the writings of Srila Sanatana Goswami in his Brihat Bhagavatamrita. This might be one of the purports by the devotees. It talks about the sense impulse. There's a current of the senses. And they're considered to be like mighty rivers, like the Ganges too. And they can't never be stopped. And that's only can be stopped by the special protection of the Supreme Personality Godhead, by his internal energy. And that's pure devotional service. So he says here, no one can stop the incessant flow of sensory agitation. Non-devotee sannyasis fall from their elevated status, therefore, whereas fully surrendered devotees never fall. And there's he quotes a prayer from the demigods were praying to Krishna in the womb of Devaki. O Madhava, Supreme Personality Godhead, Lord of the Goddess of Fortune, if devotees completely in love with you sometimes fall from the path of devotion, they do not fall like non-devotees. So see how the devotees are being protected. And then he quotes here, he says, though this statement concedes that pure devotees may, in theory, fall down, saintly authorities never accept that possibility. Paramahamsa Vaishnavas are solidly established in intimate friendship with the Supreme Lord. Therefore, they never fall into illusion under any circumstances. So they're protected from this wave of the sense impulses. So then we mentioned the disciplic succession. So now let's talk about the spiritual master and the disciple and how the disciple is connected. And here we see the spiritual master speaks Harikatha and the disciple is supposed to listen. And how he listens is supposed to be submissively. But those who are reluctant to hear won't find any benefit from this Harikatha. So it says here, a listener must be both eager to hear and inquisitive. If one wants to waste time, he will allow himself to be influenced by the current of other thoughts. So again, this is coming up. If he is fortunate, he will search only after pure Harikatha. So they quote a verse from Shastras. It doesn't say where, but it says, a cloudy day is not auspicious, but a day devoid of discussing Krishna Katha is actually inauspicious. So even though it may be cloudy, it's not inauspicious. But we just have to keep chanting Hare Krishna. So there's another thing about the spiritual master disciple. And it says here that if we act according to the order of the Krishna, that is a very important point. That order of Krishna comes through disciplic succession from the bona fide spiritual master. Therefore, the spiritual master's order should be taken as his prime duty. So we're getting into this other word, prime duty of life. If one gets a bona fide spiritual master and acts according to his directions, then one's perfection of life is in Krishna consciousness is guaranteed. So that was nice. So as Krishna's representatives, we also should be connected. And Prabhupada says, just like the electric current. And as we read, I think Savasa's reading about, talking about the tree of devotion of Lord Chaitanya, that if all the different parts of the tree have the same effect. So in the same way as the representatives of Krishna, we're in this tree. It's like electricity. The current is equal in all points of the electric system. So this is our thing. So, and how do we increase that current? It's described here in, Prabhupada wrote a letter to Stephen Hebbel in London. This was in 1969. And he said, so the way for you to increase the capacity of receiving Krishna's mercy is to chant Hare Krishna regularly, at least 16 rounds per day, to associate with devotees of Krishna, and to follow the rules and regulations. So then he refers him to Brahmananda that will help him in that way. So he says, my request is that you stick with this process sincerely, and I am sure Lord Krishna provide all facilities for your advancement. So if you're in touch with Krishna, which is the goddess of fortune, then you're in touch with all of the facilities. Just like when Lord Chaitanya appeared in the house of Sachimata, everything, there was so much opulence, so many people came. Just like today is, what is it called? The festival of Jagannath Mishra, right? And so they were just so glad that Lord Chaitanya appeared, that everybody was joyful and happy. So the next day they had a great celebration. And people came from all over the universe. All the demigods' wives came. You know, Lord Indra, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva's wife came. Even Lord Nisringadev's wife came, which is Sarasvati was described. And they all came with all these special gifts. And it was so much opulence everywhere. Everything was there provided. So just see, if you're in touch with Krishna, then automatically, Prabhupada says here, he'll provide all facilities for your advancement. And just see the nice facilities Krishna's given us here in New Dwarka. Beautiful deities, you know, service and association with Krishna and devotees. So we're very fortunate to be in this. Also, there's the difference between the bogus and bona fide. It's not like Prabhupada uses that current, like the bogus spiritual master will like zap you, right? Supposedly with electric current, right? And then you become unconscious, and then the spiritual master will be crying because he gave you all your potencies, you know, all his potencies. So it's not like that. That's just bogus. Prabhupada, you know, blasts that in his books. It's only by ardent hearing from a bona fide spiritual master. That's the only way to receive this transcendental knowledge. You see, there's no need, Prabhupada says, for medical performances, occult mysticism, miraculous events. The process is simple, but only the sincere party can achieve the desired result, and that's with the ardent hearing. So the last word here now is prime duty. So this is there's so many nice references, and so Prabhupada mentions how Arjuna, he gave up his prime duty and he was influenced by this kama spirit, by this thought way, current, you know, that to satisfy himself, to not kill his relatives. But after, because he was a pure devotee, he wanted to satisfy Krishna's senses, his pleasure, instead of his own. So that was his prime duty. So that's the difference between kama and akama. And Prabhupada mentions how the king, his prime duty is to give protection to everybody in his, you know, who he's protecting. And he gives protection in all respects to the peaceful, offenseless citizens of the state. And he talks about the devotees who are by nature peaceful, offenseless. So this is the duty of the king to help everyone become a devotee. And then automatically there will be offenseless, peaceful citizens. So, but his duty then is to curb the miscreants. So this is described here. Prabhupada mentions in the second canto, chapter 7, he says, every state and its administrators, regardless of the nature of the administration, monarchy or democracy, what's that, oligarchy? You heard that word before? Oligarchy. Or dictatorship or autocracy have the prime responsibility to lead the citizens toward God realization. This is essential for all human beings, and it is the duty of the father spiritual master, and ultimately the state to take up the responsibility of leading the citizens toward this end. So this is the chance for the conditioned souls. So then I found this one purport, and this is in the second canto, first chapter, text number 13. And Prabhupada mentions prime duty in the purport like almost 10 times. It's like 8 or 10 times. Would you like to hear that purport? So this is in a verse with King Katvanga. This is when he was fighting for the demigods, and the demigods offered him a benediction, and he asked, when am I going to die? And they said, oh, you're going to die in a moment. So then he knew the prime duty of life. So immediately he went and took shelter. So this is what Prabhupada says in the purport, and this is where he mentions prime duty so many times. A fully responsible man should always be conscious of the prime duty of the present human form of life. The activities to meet the immediate necessities of material life are not everything. One should always be alert in his duty for attainment of the best situation in the next life. Human life is meant preparing ourselves for that prime duty. Maharaj Katvanga is mentioned here as a saintly king because even within the responsibility of the state management, he was not at all forgetful of the prime duty of life. Such was the case with other Rajarsis, saintly kings, like Maharaj Yudhisthira, Maharaj Parikshit. They were all exemplary personalities on account of their being alert in discharging their prime duty. Maharaj Katvanga was invited by the demigods in the higher planets to fight demons. And as a king, he fought the battles to the full satisfaction of the demigods. The demigods, being fully satisfied with him, wanted to give him some benediction for material enjoyment. But Maharaj Katvanga, being very much alert to his prime duty, inquired from the demigods about his remaining duration of life. This means that he was not as anxious to accumulate some material benediction from the demigods, and he was as he was to prepare himself for the next life. He was informed by the demigods, however, that his life would last only a moment longer. The king at once left the heavenly kingdom, which is always full of material enjoyment of the highest standard, and coming down to this earth, took ultimate shelter of the all-safe personality of Godhead. He was successful in his great attempt and achieved liberation. This attempt, even for a moment, by the saintly king, was successful because he was always alert to his prime duty. Maharaj Parikshit was thus encouraged by the great Sukadeva Goswami. Even though he had only 7 days left in his life to execute the prime duty of hearing the glories of the Lord in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, by the will of the Lord, Maharaj Parikshit instantly met the great Sukadeva Goswami and the great treasure of spiritual success left by him is nicely mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is a treasure. So it's already 22 after, and maybe we could open it up for any comments or questions. Okay. Waiting for the mic. Okay, you could just, I'll just repeat your question.
My question is, you mentioned art of hearing, that's one way of seeking knowledge.
Yes.
We have a lot of emphasis on universal and spiritual insight. Sometimes I feel like that can be like an abstract idea. So there's a practical understanding of the mercy of the spiritual master, transcendental knowledge.
Yes. Yes. So he's asking that, you know, we see the mercy of the spiritual master is like an abstract thing. So can we understand that getting the mercy of the spiritual master means that we're receiving transcendental knowledge? Yes. That's what comes by the ardent hearing. We're connected. Did you? Oh, I just repeated. Did you hear me? Sorry. Okay. So he's asking that, you know, to get the mercy of the spiritual master is kind of abstract. What does that mean? And he's asking, does it mean that we receive knowledge, transcendental knowledge from him? That's his mercy. I said, yes. Right? Okay. Yes. Okay, another. Yes, Prabhu. That's a very good question. The question is, I mentioned how we should love everyone else more than ourselves. So how can you love somebody that, you know, we're not supposed to associate with, materialistic people, right? That could bring you down. So association means, Lord Chaitanya's mission is that we go out and give the mercy of Krishna, just like Vidura came and gave the mercy to Dhritarashtra, you know. And he chastised him, even though it wasn't palatable, but he was very concerned about him going to hell. So in the same way, devotees are concerned about everyone, these fools and rascals going towards hell. So they're giving him some mercy somehow, whether it's prasadam, if you can't preach to them, or if they're willing to hear, you know, you could mention something or give them a book. So and or you can go in Harinam, and then just by hearing the holy names, it's helping them, relieve them of these dark clouds of this materialistic current of thought that they're so absorbed in. It just breaks it, and then they, somehow or another, they snap out of it. So that's how we associate. Not that we intimately associate with them and become friends and go eat at their house and, you know, go play mundane sports with them or, you know, just go and have fun, in other words, so-called fun. It's a good question. Any other comments, questions, realizations? Okay, thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.